to the book of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Book of Colossians chapter 2. And hopefully I'll be able to preach something to you this morning that'll make a good difference in your life, or at least help change your perspective to a more godly one, if nothing else. But Colossians chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 1. He said, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches and of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Now, Father, we thank you for the scripture that we read, and I just pray that as we take this time to look at the Word of God, I just pray that on this day you would help us to see the resurrection in the proper context and understanding. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, all over the nation today, people are celebrating the resurrection of Christ. There are some that, in most places of the world, where Christians, people that profess to be Christians anyway, are together. They celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And, you know, you've heard me talk about it over and over and over again. I know you've heard it all. And you know, the early church meets on the first day of the week, because that's the day Christ rose from the dead. And so, in that effect, every time we gather on the first day of the week, we are gathering in honor of the resurrection. And we honor the resurrection by learning and growing and all the things that we're supposed to do. And so oftentimes there are traditions and things that intercede. You know as well as I do, there are a ton of traditions that are going to be observed today that have nothing to do with the resurrection of Christ. Really, they don't. There are a ton of traditions that could be, that used to be pagan, that have been co-opted and become Christianized. And we know this is a fact. It's a historical fact. Even the very name Easter is depending on which camp of scholars you fall in, it either goes back all the way to Babylon, or it goes all the way, or at least goes back to the Celtic or Germanic goddess of spring, Eostre, or whatever they call her. So there's all these ideas of that, and people argue and fuss about it, and they try to figure it out. If you talk to any pagan, they will tell you that much of the symbology of around Easter is pagan. The eggs and that type of stuff, the bunnies and all that type of things like that. There's a whole large litany of stuff about that. We could talk about that, and yet people get into that. And you know, the reality is, the fact of the matter is, what's more important is actually looking at the resurrection of Christ himself. And, you know, what does the resurrection of Christ mean to your past? And what does the resurrection of Christ mean to your future? And what does the resurrection of Christ mean to your present? You know, we look back at the day Christ arose, and you know, the reality of it is, this day that we have, that everybody celebrates Easter in our culture, it really has nothing to do with the day of Christ's resurrection, as in we're actually celebrating on the day that Christ arose, because the reality is, this is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. So it's based upon the vernal equinox and not the Passover or anything around that. And Roman Catholicism, way back in line, they decided that this was going to be the day, and that tradition has been into our culture. And then you have the Eastern Orthodox, and they celebrate it differently. They go on a different calendar than we do. And so you basically, and then you have those who try to celebrate it, you know, 3 days after the Passover, because they say, well, we got to go to the Jewish Passover. But as I've explained to you before, all of those calendars, the Jewish calendar has changed, the Gregorian calendar has changed, the Julian calendar has all, they've all been changed, they've all undergone changes over this time. So if you really wanted to be precise, you would have to go back and find out what the changes were and undo the changes and then try to recalculate everything based upon that. But the reality of it is that so many times we miss the point of the resurrection and celebrating it and being happy about it. And I'm not against that, but it's more than just, you know, you and I know more full well, just as we talk about the birth of Christ and the resurrection of Christ is more than just a day to be celebrated. It's more than something to look at. And so as we go through there and we read those things, he says this. He says in verse 6, he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And it says, in whom ye also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So he brings the idea of circumcision in, which was a sign of the covenant, right? The Old Testament covenant that God established with Abraham and his descendants, of circumcision, but he's talking about not a fleshly circumcision, but something that's spiritual. The Bible has a lot to say about that. All right, and so we're brought into that covenant by that. And then it says in verse 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now, when it says buried with him in baptism, it's not talking about water baptism. Water baptism is a picture of this baptism that he's talking about. The Bible talked about we would be, that his disciples would be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And we're baptized with the Spirit. We're baptized by one Spirit into the same body. And the Bible talks about that baptism. And when he says buried with him in baptism, he's not talking about the baptism. In the water baptism, we take somebody and we literally bury them in the water. We immerse them in the water. And then we bring them up, and that signifies what? The resurrection. And that is a picture of what happens in Christ. When Christ died, we died with Him. When Christ rose, we rose with Him. And this is something that I think a lot of people miss. And this is a very simple message today. It's not going to be complicated. It's not going to be some great theological treatise or anything like that. It's going to be something that is something that is very simple. But what makes it, the saying of it is simple, but the area where we have the difficulty of it is the practicality of it. And if we are going to truly honor the resurrection of Christ and truly celebrate the resurrection of Christ, we have to look at the resurrection, how it pertains to now. You see, I can look at the past. I can look at what the resurrection means to me in the past. Christ died for my sins. He bore my sins in His own body on Calvary's cross. And He rose from the dead. And now, because of the shedding of His blood, because of His death, His burial, His resurrection, when I put my faith and trust in Him, my sins are forgiven. Now I know that by decree of God. And that is enough. That's the truth of it. That is the absolute truth of it. I know that by God's decree. However, I have not been called into account for my sins yet. Have you? And I'm not talking about the conviction of the Holy Spirit here, and I'm not talking about the chastening hand of God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, has there been a time where you have stood before God and had your final judgment? You have not, have you? Nor have I. Nor has anyone, really. But I have the decree of God that my sins are forgiven, don't I? And I operate under that assumption. I operate under that idea as a Christian. And the Bible also tells me about this resurrection. It tells me that one day, because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and His resurrection, once again, is the sealing thing. I mean, it is 100% the sealing thing about our faith. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, then our faith is vain. And so all our hopes of heaven and that life and that world to come, that city, that mansion, that new Jerusalem, that new heavens and new earth, all of that hinges upon the resurrection, but I have never seen it. Nor have you. So what the resurrection means to our past, and what the resurrection means to our future, are things that we must simply take by faith. We cannot objectively prove them, as in saying, here it is, look, here's heaven. Here it is. Look, I have stood before God, and here's the final judgment, and here are the court proceedings, if you will, of my judgment of God's judgment of me. And see, I can show you because I have the court record already. Now I have what the Scripture tells me, but I can't. I haven't reached that day. That which has done in my past is still in my future. I haven't been there yet. That which takes care of my past is still in my future, and that judgment and that heaven and all the things, they're there, and I can't show them to you. I can only take them by faith. So what does that leave me? It leaves me, what does God's resurrection mean to me in the present? Where I am now. What does Christ's resurrection mean to me in the present, where I am right now? And this is what he's talking about here. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And then he says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. Now look at this. Through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. You're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Through your faith in the operation of God, in what God is going to do. You know, in the book of Philippians, it says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If we go to Romans chapter 6, and we look at what it says there, it says that verse 4, he said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe also that we shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He said, what he's saying there is, he said, you have to realize that you have now been made free from sin, and you have to have faith in the operation of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Faith in what God can do. Faith in what he has promised that he will accomplish. Faith in the operation of God. You know, we read that and we look at that and we say, for example, that we just go to chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. You know, I've had people, Christian people, come to me and say, "Preacher, you know, because they've had a crisis in their family or something that has happened to them beyond their control, and they don't understand why and how, and they're going through a hard time." They say to me, "Preacher, my life has been ruined." What life has been ruined? They're not talking about heaven, are they? They're talking about this earth, aren't they? They're talking about the life that they live now, but they don't even know that. They don't know if it's going to recover or not. And the truth is, most of the times, people do recover and can get past trauma and difficulty and problems and all these things. You can get past them, but as long as your focus is on this life, these things, if that's where your focus is, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it completely. You won't recover because you don't see anything beyond this. You don't see any purpose beyond this world, beyond this life. And it's very easy to get wrapped up in our world and all the things we have to do. I mean, think about it. We have to make a living. We have to feed our families. We have to, go down. We have responsibilities. We got to put away for retirement. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to, you know, we're looking at that. And as this world becomes more and more crazy, people freak out more and more. And they're just, there are people right now that are literally they're just hunkering down thinking, "Man, what's going to happen?" You know? And there's nothing wrong with preparedness. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, the prudent foreseeth the evil and hideth themselves. There's some biblical understanding of preparation. But how do you live through all of that? And when we talk about having faith in the operation of God, we go to chapter 3, verse 1, and it said, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." It goes to Jesus saying, "Lay up treasure in heaven and not on earth." Now, you've heard this 100 times, but the point being is, what are you doing with that? Do you believe in the operation of God? Do you believe that you can indeed lay up treasure in heaven? Do you believe that what you do here on this earth directly impacts the reward you will have in heaven? Do you believe that with all your heart? Do you look at that from the perspective of everything that you're going to do? Do you look at that from the perspective of what does this gain me in heaven? And I would dare say that most of the times and oftentimes we do not think in those terms. We should, but we don't, because we're not acting like Christ has actually risen from the dead. He says that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. My life is in heaven with Christ because of the resurrection. You see, that part I have to take by faith. But what the resurrection means to me today in the present, I don't have to take that by faith in the sense that it's not something that I can't prove. It's not something that I can't work on. It's not something that I can't see the results of, and that other people can see the results of. Hey, I hate to go back to what I already talked about, but I kind of am stuck in some ways. I can give you testimony of other people, or I can give you my own testimony. But I talked about earlier today. I talked about my family and the people that I grew up with, and the paths of our life. They diverged on one point and one point alone. And that divergence was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Faith in Him, that He paid for our sins, that He rose from the dead. They rejected the gospel, at least in practice throughout their life. And I accepted it. And my life changed because of what God did for me. God wrought changes in me. And I can see the results. I don't sit there and stand before you and say, I've attained. I don't sit here and stand before you and say that I'm perfect. The best that I could do is be like Brother Paul and say, I follow after that for which I am, that for which I am apprehended of Christ. I want to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, which is something that we all should do if you're saved. But you cannot look at their life story and look at my life story and say that the resurrection of Christ is meaningless. You cannot look at the life stories of literally millions of people . You know, when I went over and got the books and everything like that, the Bibles from over at Bethel, when I went and got those Bibles and everything like that, my daughter was there, and she said, "Daddy," and I looked up. She held up a book. She said, "You remember this?" It was a book called "Tortured for His Faith." And a fellow by the name of Richard Wurmbrand, who was tortured by a Romanian under communism. I believe he was Romanian. And when Romania was under communism, and Ceausescu or whoever was the leader there at that time, I can't remember if I got that right or not, but they talk about that. And that man's testimony of how God changed his life. And how he, even though he was tortured, God took care of him. The story of Darlene Rose, and she had a testimony called "I Will Never Leave Thee." She gave her testimony of being a missionary in Papua New Guinea and during World War II, and how she was put in a prison camp and tortured and abused and everything else, and yet she still drew closer to God, and she found out, and she talked about how God saved her life and brought her out of there, even though she lost her husband that time. And just a wonderful, beautiful testimony. Testimonies after testimonies after testimonies of people that have served God and done amazing things. I like reading biographies of Christians that have gone through the trials and difficulties, that have gone through so many different things, and they may be great things and they may be small things. You know, I used to like to listen to Brother Lester Roloff preach, and he had a lot of wonderful testimonies about what he did. But one of the first testimonies he did was he was always sickly and poor. And you know what? He just got in the Bible and said, "Lord, I need to know how to eat so I can be healthy to do your work." And he began following things that he learned in the Bible about food and about fasting and faith and things like that. He took those things and it helped him. It was a testimony. Because he treated God's Word like God's Word was God's Word. And that Jesus was really risen from the dead, and it makes a difference. And his life was that. And all the way through his life, I could talk about different things he did. And I could talk about so many other godly men of the faith throughout history. A lot of Bible-believing preachers, and some were better than others, and some were greater than others in some ways, and some in another way. And you can talk about the George Muellers and the David Brainerds and the John Paytons and the David Livingstons and the Amy Carmichaels and just down the line of great missionaries. And then we got the testimony of these missionaries here. You know how many years Brother Holmes has been in Nigeria? He's been there for a long time.
2005,
yeah. That's a pretty long time. And it's just to see the miracles of God, to see something, for a life to change. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have faith in the operation of God who raised Him from the dead. That if we do what God says to do, that God will perform the operation that's necessary for us to get to what we need to be. To become what we need to be, to have. You know, I used to, as a young Christian, I had a bunch of people that I spent time with. And you know, we were always talking about, man, we need that resurrection power. We didn't even know what we were talking about at the time. We heard that phrase, we heard resurrection power. It's like, yes, that's what I need. And we didn't understand it, but we were looking for it. We were all young and we didn't know a whole lot. But we heard some preacher preach about resurrection power and we said, we want some of that. And we start looking at, you know, all he's talking about is having faith in the operation of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Faith in Him, believing that what God says He can do is going to take place. You go to the chapter 3, verse 1 again, back there. We look at this and say, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. My life is not here. My life is in heaven. That's where my life is. Jesus is my life. That's where it is. And He is. He's my life. He's my hope. He's my peace. He's everything. It's there. What happens here is temporary. What happens there is eternal. It's forever. That's where I need to focus. That's where I'm going to put things that I'll keep for all eternity. I can't do that here. That's where the things that are most valuable are. What I put there is more valuable than what I have here. And you can't do that without faith in the operation of God. We go out and we talk about soul winning. We talk about being a witness for Christ. We talk about all those things. You can't tell me that you believe God can and will save people if you don't bother to tell them about Jesus in the first place. You have no faith in the operation of God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have no faith in that operation if you don't take the time to tell people. To truly honor the resurrection, you have to do it today where you're at, and tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. You have to believe that Christ is risen from the dead. And these things that God says are true, and the only way you can prove that, the only place that you can prove that they're true is here, today. Everything else I have to take by faith. And yes, I have to live by faith, don't get me wrong. But to be able to point to you and look at there and say, I can look at Sister Pat And she can remember a time where I would come into her house, and even though I was trying my best to be on my best behavior, because that was my girlfriend's mama and everything like that, that I said some things that I shouldn't never say in anybody's company, much less polite company. She remembers that. I know she remembers it. She's my mom-in-law. She remembers everything I've ever done. No, I'm just playing. But the reality is that you can look at what I was and what I am now, and there's been a change. There's something that you can point to and say, hey, there has indeed been a change. My family can look at me and say, hey, there's been a change. The people that knew me growing up say, there's been a change. There's a testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the goal is that every day people will be able to look at us and see a testimony. Whether they understand it all or not, they see a testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we have faith in the operation of God who raised Him from the dead. People ought to be able to see that. And can they see that? That's your testimony. But the truth of the matter is, to see the power of the resurrection and to be a witness to the power of the resurrection, to the truth of the resurrection of Christ, we must believe in it today. Not just for the past and not just for the future. Now, today. Well, that's the way to celebrate. Because what I've done before is done, isn't it? Can't change it, can I? And what I have in the future is dependent not just upon what Jesus did in the past, but doesn't it depend somewhat on what I did today? Now, I'm not talking about my salvation. I'm talking about that which I carry throughout eternity, that which I have, that reward. It's dependent on what I do today. No wonder Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Beloved, I don't know what your thoughts are on the resurrection, but I can tell you this. If you want to make sure that the resurrection is honored, you'll honor it today. Each day. It's a daily thing. It's not a yearly thing. It's not even just a weekly thing. It's a daily thing. Today. You have to reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God. You have to make that determination. Nobody can make that for you. You have to say, I serve the Lord Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the service. Father, thank You this day for everybody who's celebrating the resurrection of Christ. And I pray, Lord, You'd open their eyes to what it means. If there's any that are lost that don't know for sure if they died today, they go to heaven. They don't know if their sins are forgiven. They don't know what's going to happen when they die. I just pray, Lord, that You would help them see that Christ died on Calvary's cross to pay for their sins. And He rose from the dead, and He's proved that He's paid the penalty. And now that's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that He is the only one that can save them, that they would believe on Him and trust in Him and call upon Him and be saved. And Lord, help us who've trusted Christ as our Savior, who know we're saved, help us to realize that in order to see the impact of the resurrection, we must believe in the operation of God today. We must believe what God says He's going to accomplish, He will do. and that nothing's too hard for the Lord, and that every promise is true. And not just the ones that we can't see that are afar off, either behind us or ahead of us. But Lord, those that are for today, help us to believe your word. Now, Lord, I pray you'd bless each one as we go today, and I pray you'd bring us safely back together. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.